What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops. But not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker. Because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer. Not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward. Giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start. Because where you start matters.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, DGS and KMOX. Happy rainy Thursday, a few minutes past 3 p.m. Every Thursday, we have our pal Janelle come in, and we talk about movies and entertainment and such. You can follow her on social media by going to holy_LELLE. That's the hardest thing I do all week. I trip on it every single time. Underscores. I don't know what it is about underscores. They're not dashes. They're not lines. They're just underscores. I don't know. Underscores are not a thing for my generation. We just didn't use them. So, yeah.
I like them.
What's that?
I like them.
Do you like them? Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Look at you,
whippersnapper. But I will say, it does gum up the works when it comes to verbally expressing it.
It does.
Yes.
Yes. Can you change it for me?
Can you change your entire online profile?
I will get right on that.
Rebrand.
Make it a
dash. As soon as I walk out, I'll get right on it.
Just do it now. We'll talk amongst ourselves.
All right, go ahead.
So thank you for clearing up Nosferatu. We can't really talk about it because, one, it's a spoiler.
Sure.
Two, it's disturbing.
Well, I mean, it was at the beginning of the movie.
I know. I must have just... Literally, because it starts all foggy, I might have just been like, I should pee.
Set a timer on your phone for like 15 minutes and put it across the room. And then when it goes off, then it's the first time you can look at your phone.
Okay, that's a good idea.
So at least you don't miss, like, you know.
Well, now I'm looking forward to watching it again.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was the plan.
Yeah, because now I know what the hell the vampire's talking about, so.
Yep.
I liked it. You did a great review. It was very accurate.
It's very beautiful.
Love Eggers. Very atmospheric and...
Right. You didn't see it at the theater, though.
I didn't. I saw it at home.
Oh, yeah.
But I have a giant television, so it's, yeah,
okay.
That helped.
Got that going for me.
Blackout
nice. Curtains.
It's the only thing in my house. Sit on cardboard boxes and watch a 90-inch screen. So what are we talking today?
Oh, we have, I saw Flight Risk. That was terrible.
I love your terrible movie reviews because it hurts you.
It does, because I always hit, like, it's so egotistical to think, oh my God, they're going to see this and they're going to be so upset at me.
Francis Ford is not going to talk to me.
Mel Gibson is going to have words. We already know how he feels about women. So, it does, because I think, like, oh, okay, they're going to see this and I'm going to say your work was terrible. And it just was not. The dialogue in it was not good. Like, no, it's not a spoiler, but anybody can see it. Come tell me if I'm wrong, but Mark Wahlberg's character talks about, you can say this, like, sexually assaulting the other actors, like, constantly. To the point where it got a little distracting. You're just like, wow.
You mean his character?
Yes.
Is talking about characters. Yep. Well, the reason I say that is, I don't know if you saw the story, that he apologized for his on-set behavior.
Oh, okay.
He said that he was in a bad place and he wasn't talking to anyone, and he literally didn't...
For that movie?
For that whole movie.
Ooh, I don't
for the
know
whole
how,
shoot.
Like, really? That's one of those... I mean... For all the roles, I think that he could have, I mean, like, you know, he's done The Departed and Boogie Nights. I mean, like, one of my favorites is The Other Guys. But this is the movie he does method acting. Right. Okay, I mean, it wasn't a lot there, but I mean,
Do you ever think this, like, I know I don't know anything about making movies, but I feel like every movie should have someone like you or me.
Sure.
Who goes, this is sucking.
You're like, really?
This is not good.
We're really going to talk about doing that to them again? Like, didn't we just cover? Yeah, not yet. I feel like they always have, like, test audiences. Because I know, like right now they said that, I forgot which, it could even be this new Captain America coming out, that they said that, like, some of it tested. Like, who are these people they're testing in from? Because I would love to get that call. Like, and then just be like, excuse me, this completely doesn't make sense. And I know I'm not going to be the only one that doesn't understand that. So I also did see Presence, which I heard Kevin bring up the other day. It's okay. It's not great. It is in unique point of view as being shot, you know, from the eyes, I guess, of a presence, a ghost, a spirit, whatever you want to call it.
Is it scary?
No.
Okay.
It's kind of boring. Especially if you're like listening to the familial dialogue in it. It's just like, ooh, this is kind of a snooze fest. And I hate it when characters don't have chemistry together. Oh, because you're like, I'm expected to believe this and you've already taken me out of it. Like, I can't believe you're a family. This I'm not buying this at all.
Did you see Ghost Story? The one with Casey Affleck?
No.
Oh, watch that for me. Yeah, because it's also from the standpoint of him haunting a house.
Okay.
And generations of people. And I thought it was...
So it was like The Others. Like, I did see The Others with Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
That was pretty unique.
Yeah, that was
The Others
good.
Is better.
Right, okay.
But it's worth it.
And then I did see... I know this show is the official show of the Sexbot.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Sexbot talk. Mm-hmm. I saw Companion the other night. That is about she's actually called a companion bot, but it is very clear that she is a purchased sex bot that is jailbroke. Is that how you would say it? Mm-hmm. Like she's
jailbroken.
Jailbroken.
So somebody broke the restrictions on behavior.
Yeah. Like if people like jailbreak their fire stick,
right?
Like
right.
You can all of a sudden get access to them. So like she's.
All the checks and balances have been removed.
Right. So I don't know. I don't want to spoil anything because if you haven't seen the trailers, but if you see the trailers, excuse me, it does kind of let you know what purpose she's been jailbroken for. It just sounds so weird. But yeah, so I think that was the better one I've seen so far this week. I think people would enjoy it for kind of like a quirky date movie instead of just your typical rom-com.
So it's not disturbing.
Oh, no, I didn't say that. I mean, that's that's why I would see it over on a Valentine's Day instead of something like Prime today came out, that Will Ferrell, Reese Witherspoon rom-com, You're Cordially Invited. Is Will Ferrell just kind of suited for streaming now?
Okay, so Andrew talked about his sort of loathing of Will Ferrell a couple weeks ago. And we're all like, how do you hate Will Ferrell? I'm kind of joining him.
It isn't so much loathing, but if you start to scroll through the movies that he's been in, it's very rare that anything is like over a 7. Now, again, that might not be his fault, and he might be the shining character in that movie. But I'm like, I'm starting to scroll through, and I'm like, there's not a lot of... And ever since his divorce with Adam McKay, it's just been...
He needs to reconcile.
And they need to do something. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's still the production company that I think it's Gloria Sanchez that they had created together, I believe, is one that handles this. But it's, I don't know if like Adam McKay took all the writers in the divorce or the ideas. I just started thinking like, why? Like, he's done a handful of funny things that were all kind of the same actor or same character. And it just, I think, have we just kind of gotten tired of that? Has it just played out? Is he not enjoying it anymore and it's not coming through?
Probably all those things.
We kind of talked about how hard it is to stay as a funny actor for a long period of time.
Sure.
Because a lot of the ones that were really brilliantly funny, but they became just like good actors. Like Robin Williams and Billy Crystal and all of these other people. And that, I mean, I know he's done serious, but his funny is the same kind of funny all the time.
All the time.
And
even Adam Sandler.
That's kind of the same point, right? Adam Sandler's funny is the same funny, but his better stuff have been like, uncut gems, things like that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Especially in, yeah, in that's the reason I think like the other guys I enjoyed so much more because he was the straight guy. And that it was Marky Mark,
and the Funky Bunch.
A little bit, yeah. He was the one that was kind of out of control, where he let Will Ferrell be the straight guy, and then I think that's the reason I enjoyed that. But outside of that, like, also if you like look at his on IMDb, like the movies, he really hasn't been around all that much either. He's taken a break in a step away. I would think somewhat like Adam Sandler did. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know Adam Sandler's doing Happy Gilmore 2 here in a little bit.
I'm sure that'll be great.
I'm just probably as good as Anchorman 2 was.
Yeah.
Never saw it.
Yeah, it's not great. I mean, it's got moments, but it's not like the original. I mean, that's the hard part. No sequel to a comedy is ever the original.
Dumb and Dumberer.
Yeah, there's never been one in the... I mean, there are sequels... In like adventure movies, like Empire was better than the original Star Wars, sure, in my opinion. But like, I can't think of a comedy where the second one was as good or better than the first.
Every generation goes through this. We're all aging. I'm ahead of all of you. But it is weird to see your generation stars become less relevant. And new people come aboard where you're like, I don't even know who this person is. What are you trying to shove down my throat?
Yeah, and it's the younger generation that decides that, like, Adam Sandler's cool again. And it's only right. because he's cool because he wears sweatpants out of the house. Like,
right.
The most random reason to make him, like, relevant. But it's like, okay. But I haven't... Who do you know that's upcoming that's a comedic star? That's a younger generation.
It's a good question.
Hmm.
I can't think of anyone. Not young. I mean, Kevin Hart's a middle-aged man now.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, it might be the next crew. Usually it's the crew of people that come off of like something like Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, but they don't really have anyone.
No, they don't. They have the one, what's her name? Who's the main lady? Or is she not on the show anymore? impressions really well.
Kristen Wiig?
No. No, but like the second generation after her.
Kate McKinnon?
That one, Kate McKinnon.
She's not on anymore.
She's not on anymore, yeah. But she would be in that, would be the generation of people.
I think that Bowen Yang is supposed to have a movie.
Oh, okay.
Soon. But I mean, like, again, what's Keenan?
Keenan Thompson.
Yeah. Is he the only, and again, are they even?
But he's like, 40. Isn't he like 45?
Mm-hmm.
22 seasons.
Yeah.
So, where are the
It's interesting because, like, a lot of the stand ups that are really successful, they're not doing those movies.
Are there fewer comedies in general these days?
That's what my next question was. Yeah. How many, like, comedies that you see that aren't sequels to, like, Dumb and Dumber and stuff like that, and Happy Gilmore and an Anchorman? How many of those? Would you call them slapstick?
Serious question, though. Is that because people are not okay with basically what those comedies all have been and were? Like, people are not okay with making fun of other people.
There's a smaller window
for actually making a hit comedy, yeah. Because if that generation you're talking about doesn't find it funny,
right,
they don't think fart jokes are funny, or they don't think making fun of someone is funny, then, well, you can't make comedies because you can't sell it to just one group of people.
Because how old is Bridesmaids? I mean,
that's pretty old. I mean, it's
10.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's probably going... Let me look.
It came out in 2011.
Yeah, I mean, so that...
Okay.
Wow.
And that's already...
That was a poop joke. I mean, those were poop jokes. I mean, there were female poop jokes.
But it was 13, 14 years ago, though.
That's about when the
tide started changing. Yeah. Because, I mean, it was around the time that they were making the... what do you call it? The...
Judd Apatow movies?
The Bachelor Party movies. I'm spacing
The Hangover.
The Hangover and those sequels that...
Okay.
And again, the sequels weren't as good as the first,
Those are some of the last inappropriate comedy.
That's what I'm saying, right? All of that same era. What was the one with the kids, the high school kids?
Superbad,
which was hilarious, but I don't know that Superbad gets made right now.
Can you make a comedy that's not?
There was like a couple, it was either last year or the year before, they had Strays where it was like everybody was a character of the dog, you would have hated it because,
right,
you know, dogs are talking.
I don't know if they're all dogs, it's fine.
I think they're all dogs.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, no, there's humans in it, but it was a really inappropriate joke, and I wonder, was the only reason they felt like they could get away with it is because everybody was a dog? I don't know, because there was a lot of crude humor in that. But again, it didn't do well.
You would think it would come back because everything does. Like, at some point, some 20-year-old director is going to make something like that, and his generation is going to think he invented it.
He's just so avant-garde. Yeah.
Yeah. But maybe, maybe not.
I don't know. There's a lack of comedy, and I just don't think the watered-down comedy just works very well right now.
Agreed.
I think you really do either have to take the risk and go full bore, or just kind of stay away from it.
So what's your pick of the week, theater or streaming?
I would go see Companion. I don't think it's worth $15 ticket, but definitely pick it on a $5, $6 night. Yeah.
Date night.
But it's slim pickings right now.
All right. And holy underscore L-E-L-E. GD.
You'll find me.
She's changing it.
You'll Google Holy me. L, you'll find her.
She's changing it.
You'll find me.
.324, happy rainy Thursday. Got a quick sports rant in you?
Yeah, let's talk about the Blues for a second, because we haven't really had much time or made much time for them, but they're on the struggle bus again right now. Like, they had the little uptick for a while after Jim Montgomery got the job and, you know, was starting to play better, and they were not only winning more but playing better, like measurably in a lot of different ways, puck possession, offensive chances, all of that stuff. But they've gone back into the crapper here lately. They just dumped two players for nothing. You know, they traded away Scott Perunovich, who was a high draft pick and a well thought of prospect, but never figured it out here, didn't stay healthy. Traded him for a fifth round pick. They just got rid of Brendan Saad's contract because instead of accepting an assignment to the AHL, he agreed to terminate his contract, which actually helps the team quite a bit because they won't be on the hook for his cap money for next year, which is $4.5 million, which is a big deal. And now, you know, Doug Armstrong has talked the other day, and you've got a group of players who have now got this is their third coach in a year.
Mm.
Third coach in a calendar year that, you know, this has that. You know, and Jim Montgomery's not getting fired or anything, so the good news is that. The good news is, you know, he's in a stable position. They're not going to be playing that stupid game anymore. But this is the same group of players now that has had three different coaches questioning things like energy and effort and playing the 200-foot game and doing all of that.
With the same basic group of players?
With most of it, right. The same core. Like, there have been some changes around the edges, and there's a couple of guys here and there. But you've got a team full of veteran players that should be leading the way, right? They should be the ones that are setting the tone, leading the way, bringing the younger guys or the newer guys along. But those guys can't get out of their own way half the nights. They can't get their own games in order. So if these guys, and I'm talking about a guy like Justin Falk, I'm talking about a whole bunch of forwards. I mean, Brent Saad would have been one of them. Pavel Buchnevich just got a huge long-term contract, and now he's having his worst season as a member of the team. Like, these are the guys in their late 20s, early 30s, that should be bringing other players along with them. And, you know, God love Braden Shen for trying, but Braden Shen's just not the player that he used to be, but he's trying. So you have that dynamic, veteran players that can't even get their own games right. And if you can't get your own game right, how do you bring others along? Then you've got now three different coaches in a calendar year questioning effort, energy level, and all of those things. This is one of the worst home teams in the NHL right now. Their home record is abysmal. And you don't have any A-level stars. That's a lot to overcome. And, you know, when they have these good little runs, they seem to be able to maintain it for like a week or two, or maybe 3 weeks. And then it just goes right back to this garbage that we're seeing now, where you had a disastrous homestand that looked lifeless, that looked terrible, and that led to a bunch of these moves happening, and it led to the GM. And by the way, we got to give the blame here is on the GM. The blame here is on Doug Armstrong because he built the roster.
If I made you commit, would you say it's we have overstated our talent or lack of effort?
From the players?
Yes.
You don't have enough good players, and the players you have don't seem to play hard enough often enough.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, guys. DGS and KMOX. Just about 3:35 here on a rainy, kind of gloomy, maybe cozy Thursday. Hello, Dave.
Hello there. Good rain is kind of nice, isn't it?
Kind of a one-day event, right?
Yes. Yes. In fact, the steady rain will be over here probably in about 2 hours.
Okay.
And then it's scattered showers after that.
How are we looking tomorrow, just pretty-wise?
It's okay. It's not a great day. It's kind of a changeable sky. The storm system, we're still in the wraparound flow of this thing. So there still could be a couple of scattered showers around, even a rumble of thunder anytime during the day, but a lot of dry time, mix of clouds and sunshine, 53. The weekend's looking great. We start the new month Saturday, partly sunny, 53. And the Sunday still looking like the best day, and probably the warmest day that we'll see in the next week, 64. Partly sunny skies on Sunday. The warmest time will be 1 p.m. to about 3 p.m. on Sunday.
So Rach and I have been taking our daily walks and been very impressed with how difficult it is to get rid of snow. Like, I don't remember it being around this long. I'm sure it has in my life, but I just don't remember it.
No, it's definitely been around in your life. But it's an ice pack because we had so much sleet in that system. It's very hard to get rid of. It just becomes like this giant ice cube that won't go away.
Yeah. Are you hopeful for February kind of continuing this trend?
I think that I still like the idea that the La Nina pattern that we've been in, which has been just not like any other La Nina anyway, so it doesn't really matter, but it's fading. I think it will completely fade away and go neutral. And I'm still a little concerned next week is going to be cooler, but not cold. I still think the middle of the month we could have another cold snap.
Okay. Well, this is nice. Enjoy it while you can.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially Sunday. Sunday's spectacular. You know what February 5th is?
No.
Just so you plan ahead. You know, I know we have Groundhog's Day on Sunday. Yeah. That big day in the Murray household. Bigger day, February 5th, is Weatherman's Day.
Oh. Hey.
Yeah. So
to get you a cake.
Plan ahead.
Yeah. We'll be ready for it.
It celebrates the birthday of John Jeffreys. He was born in 1744, and he was one of the first to actually take weather observations in this country.
That's so fascinating. So before that, they weren't even trying to figure it out?
No, definitely not trying to figure out, not even keeping records of it. You know, because this guy really started to say, hey, you know what? Maybe there are patterns that we should really start to look at. And so he started to keep track of everything.
Interesting. Really interesting. Headlines, Rach?
Brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. All right. NASA astronauts Sonny Williams and Butch Wilmore conducted their first spacewalk together today after being stranded on the ISS for nearly 10 months. The astronauts collected samples and performed maintenance during the spacewalk. Now, President Trump has requested that SpaceX bring the astronauts home, and Elon Musk confirmed that they would comply with the request. This is pretty crazy that they've been up there for this long.
Yeah.
I watched a little bit of the footage of the spacewalk today. It's cool. I just like that the communications, the way it sounds. Like, I just left it on for like a half hour while I was getting some work done because it's just so calming.
Nice. Interesting.
Okay, this year's hottest Super Bowl ticket could be advertising space. Super Bowl 59 on February 9th will feature a lineup of ads from major brands like Anheuser-Busch, Meta, PepsiCo, and more, aiming to capture the attention of 120 million viewers. That's what they're anticipating. It sold out early, with prices reportedly reaching record highs of $8 million for a 30-second spot.
As you know, Super Bowl ads are a problem for me. And it's because I'm a comedy bitch. And I think that Super Bowl ads have become, I think they used to be really good. I remember the one where in Anheuser-Busch where a clown walks in on his hands and drinks the beer in his butt. That's really funny. And then they it ran once and they got rid of it. Now it just seems like they're so cornpone and they're so obvious and they're just like screaming out to the back rows. I don't know. I dread them. Like, if people watch for the ads, I watch in spite of the ads.
Dude, I'm the same way, but I've always been that way. And it's mind-boggling to me that we have, as a nation, have just, like, embraced it. Like, I can't wait to see all the stuff they're trying to sell so I can give them my money. I'm like, I don't mind commercials. I mean, like, they're fine, like, but I always thought it was weird that we celebrated it. And there are some that you're like, that's not bad. But I got to tell you, if I watch another game that's got more Matthew McConaughey commercials in it, like, why is he doing so many commercials? Is he broke?
By the way, speaking of bugging,
I like him, and I don't want to not like him.
I like him, too, but I'm tired of him running out with the Texas team.
Yeah.
And being on the sidelines and giving the guys advice. Like,
that is quite silly when somebody wants to do that.
I definitely think he on the team.
Yeah. I don't care as much about that, but yeah, I get what you mean, because he's not a... like. So, like, I watch Miami. Well, Michael Irvin's doing that. But Michael Irvin played, and he's a Hall of Famer.
That's way.
Right? That's a guy that did it. This guy's like, I have pretended to be a lot of people.
Yeah.
And even though I like him, like, I'm a fan. I like Matthew McConaughey. I'm not a hater, but
his book is great.
You're going to make me a hater if you're on every damn commercial.
Drake does that, too, with, like, the University of Kentucky and with the Raptors. And he's so embarrassing about it because he'll, like, wear the uniform and, like, warm up with them. And it's like, you are not on the basketball team, Drake.
But I want to be.
You are 36. Cringe.
You know, but in fairness, too, like, I mean, a lot of these athletes, if you gave them the chance to, like, be on stage, they'd do it. They'd do it.
Look at the Kelce brothers. Am I right?
Yeah. No, you're dead on.
Killing me.
but they're also making the point. Like, people get sick of that after a while.
There was a baby born in a Krispy Kreme parking lot. Shania Bennett gave birth Wednesday to her son Dallas at a Krispy Kreme, but they're going to nickname him Glaze.
Don't do that. Oh, you people. God almighty, man.
Just what we're talking about.
This kid's going to get the crap beat out of him.
How about Donnie? Short for donut.
That kid better be like 6'9", because he's going to get the crap beat out of him. That's his nickname?
If you're going to name him Long John Crueler Hole.
Well, Krispy Kreme is going to throw him a birthday celebration every year until he's 18.
Of course they are.
Until he's 18.
He's going to need every advantage
then
he can get if his parents are going to do this.
He's 17, he's going to want to do that.
He's going to be the only 10-year-old that's like, don't call me my nickname, call me my real name.
I love that Krispy Kreme is like cutting him off. Krispy Kreme's like, look, you can live in our house until you're 18.
Then you're on your own.
Then you're out of here.
Gotta get a job after that. Little House on the Prairie is being rebooted at Netflix.
You excited?
I'm pretty excited. I mean, I hope they do a good job.
Yeah.
I really loved the one that came out in the 70s, but it is not accurate to the books, like, at all.
Oh.
Not to spoil anyone's world, but, like, Albert, the character... doesn't exist. That's just made up for the show, and like they didn't stay in Walnut Grove the whole time.
Moved
around all over the place.
Mr. French?
It's Mr.
What a buzzkill you are.
What about Manly?
Yes.
Manly.
Lonzo is real. She did marry him.
There you go.
We all know Albert.
The blindness.
That was real.
Okay.
But she didn't marry the teacher at the school. Like it's all made up.
What about Merlin Olsen? Who was he? Was he the preacher?
Was he Albert?
No.
The liar.
Who was Merlin Olsen in that? Was he
Like a blacksmith?
Was he?
He was the big guy with the beard.
He was the only person that looked like
the guy I'm thinking of, settler. The actor's name was Victor French.
Victor French.
Rachel's like, can we please just use character names only?
If it's a reboot that is more true to the books but not to the show, that's better to you.
Yeah, because I don't know why they would want to redo the show because of all the inaccuracies. Like, the show is great. I really enjoyed watching it as a kid. It is inaccurate. She wrote an autobiographical series.
Yeah, I mean, it is her story.
Was the show more exciting than the books?
Yeah, probably.
You got to make it exciting. I mean, put it this way. If that's the more exciting version.
Did Mom almost have to cut off her hand with a knife? Remember that one?
I don't think so.
Did it get, like, hypothermia?
She got like gangrene or something, and Paul was out on the South 40 for a few weeks.
Couldn't find any leeches.
Victor French was Mr. Edwards.
There you go.
He is a real character, but not in the capacity he was portrayed in.
Okay.
Hey, Nellie?
Nellie's real.
Okay.
Nellie's real.
What
but
about,
they didn't, like, they weren't acquaintances all through
the whole thing.
Yeah.
So Merlin Olsen, he was Jonathan Garvey. I don't know who that is.
Jonathan Garvey.
He's just a townsfolk person, huh?
Gentle giant.
I don't know if this guy is in the books.
Maybe he's just a TV creation.
Maybe.
He's a poser.
They're like, we need a big guy.
By the way, the guy now, like looking guy. At the picture now of the guy that was that Almanzo guy.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't look like an Almanzo.
Yeah.
He's like
Let's delve into that one.
Yeah, he looks more like a Fred.
Lay's potato chips are recalling some of their items because basically it was contaminated with milk. And as Andrew knows, this is like an extremely...
Oh, yeah.
This is a big deal. If you say it doesn't have milk in it and then it does, people can die. So it is a very serious recall. More than 6,300 13-ounce bags of chips are affected, but they were only sold in Oregon and Washington starting in November. So I don't think we have to worry about it too much, but stay woke, people.
Gotcha.
It could happen.
You said woke.
Yeah.
You said stay woke.
I think the bigger shock here is that they've had 6,300 bags of chips just in that style, just from those places since November. It's a lot of chips.
A lot of chips.
People like chips, man. Fox News posted their best January in history, marking 23 years as the number one cable news network. CNN and MSNBC didn't do quite as well, but MSNBC did better than it has in the past, I think because of Donald Trump being elected, more people are tuning in.
So, question.
Mm-hmm.
Did Fox News create modern conservatism, or did modern conservatism create Fox News?
Ooh.
I don't know the answer. I don't know how you separate one from the other.
Well, I mean, yes and no. Roger Ailes definitely had like a huge hand in the evolution, as we've seen it, of both the conservative party and conservative media. You know what I mean? But Fox News itself has really only been around since like 95, right? Something like that.
About that.
So.
But not conservatism in general, the new version.
The
of
new
it,
version.
Yeah. Right? Because there was this is a lot different version than, say, the Reagan years were.
Like, for example, I don't think the Republican Party would be anywhere near where it is without Fox News.
I think that's accurate. And I think that Ailes' vision and the vision of the people that he allied himself with lines up very closely with the harder and farther right views that we see that are becoming the mainstream in the Republican Party.
But, and again, I think this is really an interesting chicken or the egg, right? But were those the people that were guiding that movement separately from TV, the ones that embraced the TV and pushed it out there?
Probably so.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dave.
All righty.
DGS Matt Pauly from the sports department coming up after the top of the hour. Hope you're enjoying this rainy, cozy Thursday. Going to be a great weekend. Pushing 70 degrees and sunny on Sunday. Throwback Thursday?
Yeah, 190 years ago in 1835, Andrew Jackson became the first president to survive an assassination attempt. He was attacked by a man with a pair of pistols that both misfired. So the 67-year-old president beat him with his walking stick.
He was a badass. What'd you think of his politics aside? He was a badass.
92 years ago in 1933, The Lone Ranger was heard on the radio for the first time. It ran for 2,956 episodes before ending 22 years later in 1955.
Wow.
I'm old enough, just old enough, because I think the show was in reruns when I was a kid, but the television show The Lone Ranger, man, I was obsessed. Loved it.
56 years ago in 1969, the Beatles made their final public appearance as a group, performing on the roof of Apple Studios in London, just like we talked about in the Sweet 16 the other day. Mm-hmm. The show was stopped when police arrived after neighbors complained about the noise.
Stupid.
Beatles! That's not noise.
I mean, that made it great because they almost got arrested.
Yeah.
But still, it's like, geez, have some awareness.
No doubt.
You'll love this one, Dave. 52 years ago in 1973, Kiss played their first concert. It was at a place called the Popcorn Club, and they earned $50 performing for less than 10 people.
I love it.
That's so funny.
I love Mark Close's story. That was the kite flying thing, and Kiss was there, but they were nobody, and Mark Close picked him up in a panel van. Like with no seats, and they were just rolling around in the back.
Do they have all their makeup on and stuff?
No, they didn't have the makeup on. They put it on once they got there.
Interesting.
Those guys, if nothing else, man, they got the hustle.
Oh, yeah.
They were, they understood what it was going to take.
When I was in seventh grade, I was riding a skateboard, and there were some older kids. They had their back to me. And when they turned around, they were in Kiss makeup, and I didn't know who Kiss was. And they knocked me off my skateboard, and the one that had the Gene Simmons paint knelt down. He said, "Are you in the Kiss Army?" I'm like, "Sir, I'll be in whatever army you want me to be in. Don't eat my face."
Let me go, please. 48 years ago in 1977, the Hardy Boys Mysteries debuted on ABC.
Loved it.
It starred Parker Stevenson and Sean Cassidy.
I don't remember it. I mean, I remember it existing, but
it was good.
Yeah, I don't remember if it was good or not.
It was so 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was there a Nancy Drew television series?
Yeah,
there was.
Very nice.
I don't remember that either.
They even crossed over.
Yeah.
I can see her in my mind. I can't remember.
Oh, they had a crossover?
Yeah.
Hey, that was a big thing in the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
Crossovers, and we got to get these.
You get so excited.
Yeah, now I got to figure that out, though. Who the heck was Nancy Drew? I don't know. I wonder if there's a more than one. Let's see. Oh, you know, there's a recent TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the one in the 1970s was Pamela Sue Martin. She was famous, right?
Yes, she was.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was in Little House.
Was she?
No, she was.
Oh, okay.
Who was she in that?
Just a guest star.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she was Almanzo's aunt.